It's time for the Hour of Power, where numerous churches and ministries in Western Oklahoma come together to produce a program found on the internet at therockchristianmusic.com. If you have a specific prayer request, or you would like to share about an answer to prayer in your life, text the word PRAY to 68683, then share your request. This is your connection to other Christ followers and prayer warriors. Welcome to the Hour of Power.
Well, good morning. Never a dull moment when you're working with all the best whistles and bells that we have to deal with in the technology. For some reason, we just couldn't get the Seagate to connect this morning, but now we're connected. This is the Hour of Power on the Rock Christian Music. I'm Neva Pyatt, sitting in the driver's seat this morning. My good friend Sue is over there running the iPad. I appreciate her jumping in at the last minute. Monica had to be late this morning, or maybe not make it at all because of some personal issues that were going on in her neighborhood. And our guest today, Pastor Scott Rogers. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. I am blessed and highly favored.
There you go.
Yeah, just have to start out with that for sure. No matter what the difficulties are, God is with us, and we are blessed more than we can ever even begin to thank Him for. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send it to our email, hourofpower32@gmail.com, or you can post it right on our Facebook page, or you can send it to 580-485-0837. Our Facebook sponsor today is Grant's Auction Realty. We appreciate each one of our sponsors so very much. Grant's Auction has been with us since the Hour of Power started some 16 or 17 years ago. So that's a pretty faithful sponsor. Pastor Scott, will you pray to start us out?
Would love to. Let's pray. Gracious God, this morning, wherever we gather, whether it be on the day we're recording this or if you're watching it later, every day is a day you've created. Every day is special. I pray that we never take any day for granted. Oh God, if anything has been taught to us over the last few weeks and months around our world, it is to recognize the value in every person on every day. And so today, as we get ready to talk about your word, we just pray, Lord, that your spirit will confirm in us your love, your grace, your mercy, but also empower us to lead with that same love, grace, and mercy. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And so your topic today, why do you stand here looking at the sky?
Yeah.
And I said to you, I stood and looked at the sky last night.
Yeah, that's not exactly what we're talking about today, but yeah.
I didn't figure it was.
But. No, because I love to look at the stars. Oh, no, I'm a astronomy guy. I enjoy looking at the stars. I've always enjoyed that, actually. No, this is a little different, actually. This begins really with a piece of knowledge that I have come to that I think it just needs to be shared. I'm getting close to being 46 years old, and my hair's turning a little bit grayer. I think I'm getting a little bit wiser, okay? And are you ready for this?
Uh-huh.
I mean, I want you to get your pencil ready because this is worth writing down, okay?
Hand me my Bible. I left it over there.
So. All right. You ready?
No.
This is the piece of wisdom that I've come to the realization of. Talking about mowing the yard does not get the yard mowed.
Amen
Boom.
To that.
So that's it. You can push stop. That's the end of the program today. If you can just take that word, then you've got it, right? See, one of the things that has really become important for me as a pastor and as a human being is I really am concerned that we have become so much about talk and so little about action.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the things that really bothers me in the world today is I hear people on both sides of the political aisle, all sides of any debate, really, offering why this won't work, why we shouldn't do this or why we should do that. But it's becoming a lot like, you remember the old Charlie Brown cartoon where the teacher would be, blah, 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 blah. That's what it sounds like. It's just blah, 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 blah. We have become so good, almost experts, by the way, of talking about things. Mm-hmm. That we've almost lost the art of actually doing anything. Now, I opened by teasing about mowing the yard, but there's something to that. So that is probably my least favorite of all activities. I will do just about anything, but I really do despise mowing the yard. I haven't liked it since I was a kid. I didn't like mowing my parents' grass. My Nana and my papa paid me to mow his grass, but I think it's because I never did it quite to his standard, and I just didn't like it. Mm-hmm. I still, to this day, I'm almost 46 years old. I don't like mowing the grass. My allergies are bad. I don't like dirt. I don't like the dust. I don't like the smell of fresh-cut grass. It's sweaty. It's hot. There's nothing about it I like. However, when I don't do that, when I actually don't go out and mow, when I finally do get around to it, do you know how much harder it is?
Yeah.
I mean, now look, we haven't had the, you know, the massive amounts of rain in this part of the world. But once we got a little rain last week, oh my. Oh, that stuff grew. Mm-hmm. I was going to a conference for a week and I got back and I was like, I just mowed this. There's always mowing to do. I'm not telling you anything you don't know, especially if you work fields and things like that. You know there's always something to mow, something to do, right? But just talking about doing it doesn't get the job done. Mm-hmm. If you have a harvest and you don't go out and actually harvest, what happens to those crops, those plants? They wither up and die, mm-hmm. right? They eventually don't, you don't get the production, right?
Right.
And I think the same thing is true when it comes to the idea of spreading the good news of Jesus. I think we in the church, and this is a pretty tough indictment, by the way, I think we have been really, really good in recent years about saying the right things, talking the right talk, doing the right things internally. But I'm not sure that we've actually done the things that we've talked about. Mm-hmm. I mean, when I talk to the average church person, that doesn't just have to be at my church that I serve or you know, any of those kind of things, but I just talk to the average Christian person. If I was to say things like, do you believe that God loves all of humanity? Oh, yeah, absolutely. Raise my mm-hmm. hand. You know, mm-hmm. absolutely, right? So then you're comfortable then worshiping God with someone who doesn't speak the same language as you. Well, yeah, sure. Yeah. What if someone's a different race or ethnicity? What if someone's from a different socioeconomic background? What if that means worshiping with someone in another country over the internet? You see, all people means all people. I think we get this word right. God loves all people. I think if I asked the average Christian, they'd say yes. But then you get to reality, and there's that second part of that. Okay, so now you go love one another as God loves you. You mean I have to love the person that smells bad? I have to love the person who doesn't worship the way I worship, or like the same style of music, or like the same kind of preacher, or like the same Sunday school curriculum. Yes. That's much harder. And let me tell you who's watching. The world.
Mm-hmm.
I believe the world is watching how the church operates.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's one of the toughest of all indictments for me. And I've said it, I think even I've said it on this program. I know I've said it to the church that I serve. But how can we expect the world to treat people differently when we as the church do not?
Mm-hmm.
How can we expect people to live with grace and mercy and forgiveness and, you know, love, and even in the midst of disagreement, when we in the church fail to model that?
Mm-hmm.
I did a camp for almost over 20 years. And I remember the very first day that I went for at the time we called it staff training. And the leader got up there and he said, "I want to share with you what a leader told me 15, 20 years ago." And by the way, I've been sharing it now for 20 years myself. But he got up there and he said, "Here's the reality of being a good Christian leader. Model, model, model." If you want people to be kind, then be kind.
Mm-hmm.
If you want people to offer some grace, offer some grace. If you want people to disagree in love, then disagree in love. You see, there's a sense in which, to me, it's the same theory. If you just think about mowing the grass doesn't get mowed. If you just think about love, mercy, and grace, that's great. But that's not the whole story. We have to live with love, mercy, and grace. There's a great verse in 2 Timothy. It says, "God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but gave us a spirit of power, love, and self-discipline." That's the spirit with which God has truly given us. And I wonder sometimes if it is our fear. Well, someone might not respond to my love, or someone might not respond if I offer them forgiveness, or someone might treat me poorly even though I'm treating them well. And? So? I mean, if those were the prerequisites, then love becomes conditional. And last time I checked, again, you might check me. You got your scripture right next to you. You might check this for me. But last time I checked, there was this really amazing Jewish rabbi that people spit on and took his clothes and put a crown of thorns on him. And he loved them anyway. And if I'm not mistaken, there's this apostle named Paul who says, we're supposed to imitate that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Last time I checked,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
You see, we're to have that kind of love, but that's an act of love.
Mm-hmm.
An act of love is one that doesn't just respond. Okay, it's easy to love someone who loves you, right? If someone treats you with kindness and respect, it's easy to offer that back. But can you offer it without demanding it to be returned? Can you offer forgiveness for someone who may or may not receive it and may or may not offer you it? Can you lead with power, love, and self-discipline because you have a spirit not of fear, but of courage, and a spirit of care? Can you do that? Well, it leads me to the reason I titled today's message, "Why Do You Still Look Up at the Sky?" Because one of my favorite texts in all of Scripture is the Ascension story, Acts chapter 1, the first 11 verses. And in that is the 40 days after the resurrection. And Jesus has gathered his disciples one more time. And if you remember, he ascends to the Father. Very beautiful scene. But there are two parts of that story that I just love, and we're going to look at those a little bit more in depth. And the first one is Jesus' very last admonition to them, his last call to the disciples. The last thing he says before he ascends to the Father is this. It's in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. He says, "When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth." We're going to talk about that here in a moment, what that looks like. But then it's followed up because, so Jesus tells them this, and he ascends to the Father, and the disciples, they watch him as he rises to the sky, right? And I have this picture, it looks kind of like this. You know, you remember I mentioned Charlie Brown a minute ago. You know how when they sing there, and that's what I guess. That's kind of what I kind of think about. They're watching Jesus go like this. And they're just standing there. Still standing. Still looking. Annoying, isn't it? What's next? I mean, literally, they stand there and they just look. Look up in the sky. And finally, there's two men dressed in white, probably angels, who come down and say, "Why are you looking up in the sky? Jesus said he would return. He'd be with you. Go and do what he says." See, I think that's a call to the church. Mm-hmm. Look, I love worship. Don't get me wrong. Worship is one of the things that drew me to becoming a Christian. I love to do Bible studies. I love to do things in the church. I do. I adore them. But that's just part of a full Christian life. Mm-hmm. One of the things I talk a lot about and there are many scholars who have different thoughts on this, but my thing is, there are three parts to what I would consider a holistic Christian life. It is worship, discipleship, and mission. And if you can find those three things in your life, that's a complete faith. Mm-hmm. Where you truly do worship God simply to worship God, because we're built for worship. Where you do discipleship, where you're in a small group or a Sunday school class, or you read every day, something to edify your soul. And then missions to go and do what God has asked of you.
Right.
If you can do those three parts, I think that's a full Christian life. The problem is, again, I think the church has gotten so good at times at worship and even discipleship. But my fear is that we haven't done worship as well as maybe we should have. Over the last week, and whenever you watch this program, just for a time index, it was a week ago today, the school shooting in Uvalde, Texas. The world's broken. Society's broken. If ever I've said this, boy, do I feel it more true today than maybe ever before. But the world needs Jesus.
Amen.
The world needs the church to be the church. For too long, I think we in the church have become silos unto ourselves. We take care of our own, which is part of our call. But we fail to go and be part of our world in a way that transforms the world. We've stood there looking in the sky, when really, it was time for us to go get to work. And I think that for me is a tough and yet real call of the church. The world needs messages of hope. The world needs to know that there is more than just what's right in front of them. And how sad is it that we who call ourselves Christians, who most of us go to church, if not every Sunday, as often as possible on Sundays, how almost depressing is it that we keep that message to ourselves? When if I took a poll again, if I asked the average Christian, do you believe Christ's message could transform the world? Right? Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yes. So why don't we share that message then?
Mm-hmm. So are you willing to go share it?
Exactly. Are you willing to go to work? Because if I asked the average Christian, are you willing to go share the love of Jesus? They would answer yes. But I take you back to what I learned about mowing. Mm-hmm. It is one thing for us to say, yes, I would love to share the love of Christ in the world. It is another thing to share Christ's love in the world. Mm-hmm. That is a... I know that sounds almost accusatory, and I maybe I mean it to be. I want to make it very clear. When I point that finger, it is pointing at me. It is pointing at all of us. I mean, I'm a Christian leader. I'm a pastor in God's holy church. So I take that very seriously. As if I'm one of the leaders of those folks and they're not going and doing it, that's partially on me as a leader. But we as Christians have given up that ability. I don't know why. I don't know why each of us would say God loves every person. Yes, God wants, you know, I want to go be a person for Christ. Yes, I want to go love like Christ loves. Yes. And then we walk out those doors and we don't do it for another week till we come back. That to me is like saying to the grass, mow yourself. Mm-hmm. That is like telling the trash, take yourself out. Just doesn't happen like that. I think we've spent too much time, like at the end of that passage in the Ascension story, just going, you know. When I love that the men of Galilee were like, the men dressed in white go. And just for the record, by the way, we're gonna look at the first part of that here really closely when we come back after break, But look very closely. It's quite fascinating. We actually live on this side of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit has been given. We have been empowered. It is not a question of whether we've been empowered or not. It is not a question of whether we have the authority to do this or not. It is not even a question if we have the resources to do this or not. Now, for the disciples, I'll give them a pass. Maybe they didn't know that. They hadn't received at Pentecost yet. That was another 10 days from the day of Ascension. So maybe I'll let them off the hook, but I can't let us off the hook. Mm-hmm. We're on this side of Pentecost. That's right. So where is that passion? Where is that fervor for the least, the lost, the lonely? Where is that hope for the future and hope for the world? I mean, a couple of times a year we talk about it, right? Like at Christmas, we'll kind of get into the hope for the world stuff. And, you know, around Easter, Christians get real Christianized about Easter. But where's the stuff here on, you know, May 31? Today is just as important as Easter Sunday or Christmas Day. Tomorrow, starting a new month, June the 1st, is just as important as May 31st. It's just as important as last May 24th. Or, I want us to recapture that every day is a gift and every day is not to be taken for granted. So when we come back from break, we're going to talk about how to make that a reality. How do we stop just looking at the sky? And how do we get to work? Because in case you haven't figured it out yet, there's a lot of work for us to do.
For sure.
We'll come back after the break and talk about how to do some of that work.
We do have several prayer requests this morning, Scott. This first one is for Sherry Orgain. We prayed for her a couple of weeks ago. She had eye surgery, and as I talked to her husband yesterday, he said what had happened is years ago she had an injury in her eye, and it had calcified a little bit. And a piece of that had broken off, but not completely off. So it was just like having a fingernail or in your eye or something.
It makes me close my eyes when you say that.
So they did some surgery, but it's been 2 weeks now. She still has lots of pain, and she still cannot stand any light. Her husband told me that she sits in the house in a dark room, even with sunglasses on, because it bothers her so much. So we want to pray that that will be resolved.
We'll be in prayer. Yes.
And then we want to pray for the family of Michael Mitchell, who went to his final resting place this past Saturday. He was young, born in 1988, so young man. And then we want to pray for the family of Alan Butler, who passed away this past Saturday also.
Okay. All right, well, let's pray for these folks. Gracious and almighty God, I am thankful that those times in my life when I don't always know what to pray. There's been times this week I haven't known what to pray. I've been too mad or too angry or too sad with all that's happening in our world. I am thankful that your word says that in those moments the Spirit prays for us. Today, may we join with the Spirit in praying for some people by name. We want to pray for Sherry, Lord, and for her sight and for that she's in a lot of pain. We pray that, God, that you help her to heal her, to help her to not be in so much pain. Give her hope and give her strength. Give her family strength. We pray for the family of Michael Mitchell. God, we pray that he is in your loving arms, and we pray for that family dealing with his loss. And we also pray for the family of Alan Butler, who also passed away this week. And we pray, Lord, for his family. We pray, God, that you bring them comfort and healing. And God, we want to pray for all those who've lost loved ones this week, as well as pray for those that are still reeling from the shootings over the last 3 weeks and all the other ills going on in our world. Sometimes, God, it becomes overwhelming to think about all the pain and the suffering going on in our world. It can almost become so overwhelming it becomes debilitating, and yet we are reminded in your word that you are the God of love, that you sent your Son who is peace and hope and joy and love, and you give us the Holy Spirit to speak good news into this hurting world. And so, Lord, we pray that you will use us however you need to, so that ultimately, God, your will be done in all of these prayer requests and all the prayer requests that are on our hearts today. So we lift them all up to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. We do want to make some announcements.